Blog Talk Radio.
To the book of Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. On last Sunday, we began a series entitled Think Like a Christian, but act like a champion. God's looking for some people who will be champions for Him. Do you want to be a champion for God?
Amen.
Think like a Christian, but act like a champion. And in last week's lesson, we talked about that on Sunday morning. We talked about it on Sunday night. We're going to talk about it again this morning, this coming Sunday night. And we've got two more days. As a matter of fact, next week, you can't afford to miss next week, because next week we're going to talk about the heart of a champion. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to bring all of your loser friends and bring them with you. Don't tell them why you're inviting them, but just get them here. We're going to make them champions. You know, all those people who are borrowing money from you, don't pay you back. Get them here. We're going to make them champions, and they won't have to do that anymore. But now, last week, as we began talking about becoming a champion for God, I shared with you that if we're going to become a champion, we must position ourselves to hear success words constantly. If you're going to be a champion, you've got to start managing the environment from which you hear things. Do not think for a moment that words are just idle words with no permanent and positive impact. They are enduring, and you've got to guard your ears, what you hear. So if you're going to become a champion, you must position yourself to hear success words constantly. So it becomes your responsibility to find out where success words are being spoken. And wherever success words are being spoken, you've got to get there so that you can hear them. It is just as if you want to learn something, you must find out where the seminar is being presented. And you got to get there and get that information. And then not only must you position yourself to hear success words, you must then empower yourself to speak success words constantly. So what begins to come into your ear must now begin to come out of your mouth. If God can get you to hear it and get you to begin to say it, He can get you to that level. But if He cannot get you to say what you are hearing, you are not likely to be able to run in the champion lane. So you've got to begin doing that. And then that's what we talked about on last Sunday morning. And then last Sunday night, we talked about the very same thing, and we illustrated it from Joshua. And then last Sunday morning, we illustrated it from Gideon. All right? Now, then last Sunday night, I told those who were here. How many of you were here last Sunday night? Okay, you received an assignment. How many of you carried out your assignment? Okay, all right, just one. See me after church for your Piccadilly coupon. All right? I said to you that if you're going to be a champion, you need to get yourself a spiritual meditation partner. As a matter of fact, you need two spiritual meditation partners. Meditation partner number one is the person who has agreed to listen when you speak words
of success constantly. Mm-hmm. Have you ever really gotten excited about something? And then he went and talked to someone, and their response just healed. See, that's why you need a spiritual meditation partner. Your spiritual meditation partner is the individual that has made a commitment to you that whenever you come and you have words of success that you want to talk about, I will listen. See, nothing will kill your dreams more than a dream hater. All right? So you need to know, because everybody will not listen. Matter of fact, there are two categories of people. There are people who get upset. They become downright indignant when you want to talk to them about where you are intending to go. And they will discourage you. They will steal and kill your dream. Therefore, you need to have a spiritual meditation partner. And that person has made a commitment to you that whenever you come and you want to talk to them about words of success, they have agreed to listen and let you tell the whole story. Have you ever sat down to talk to someone and they won't let you tell the whole story? See, that's why you need a spiritual meditation partner. It's going to change your life tremendously. All right? And then there's a second category of people. That is the person that whenever they hear anything going on, they are the matchmakers. So when you begin to talk to them about what God is going to do with you, as soon as you take a breath, they want to tell you what they're going to do. See, your meditation partner has agreed to just listen to the whole story. You know, some of your friends are like that. Every time you say to them, I'm going to Florida on vacation, before you finish, they say, well, I'm going to Hawaii. Now, neither one of you tell the truth, but you know how we do. We will allow each other to do that for us. All right? And so you need a spiritual meditation partner who will listen. So whenever you have words of success you want to talk about, you can call that person up and they will listen to the whole story. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, listen to the whole story. Listen to the whole story. All right? And then here's what a spiritual meditation partner number two will do. Here's why you need a second partner. The second spiritual meditation partner is the person that has agreed to speak words of success to you. See, you not only need someone that will listen, but you need someone that will speak words of success to you. There's a couple of chairs right here. That's plenty of chairs. Come on, let's just... All right. There are people who will speak words of success. Will speak words of success. So you need to find someone that has agreed in advance that they are going to speak words of success. So if you happen to call and say, I lost my job today. So you got to be very careful who you tell that to. Because there's some people you say to them, I lost my job. They're the matchmakers again. The matchmakers would say, you said, I lost my job and I'm only going to receive a week of severance pay. Mm-hmm. Now here's what the matchmaker, the out matchmakers, they got to have a story that tops yours. So they're going to tell you, I lost my job and then last week's pay is retroactive. They're going to take that back from me. Because, see, they have to have a story that's worse than yours. You don't need folk like that at this point if you're going to try to become a champion. So you need a spiritual meditation partner, number one, who will listen. And then the second spiritual meditation partner is the one that will speak success words. So when you say to that person, I lost my job today, they're going to look you in the eye and say, you lost your job, but God has another source of income available for you. And you're going, as a matter of fact, not only does it have another source of income available for you, it's going to be better than the one you lost, and the working conditions are going to even be much more compatible with your disposition. You see, you need someone that will speak the favor of God into your life, and you are going to have difficulty getting into championship lane if you don't have that spiritual meditation partner.
That's right, preacher.
It makes a world of difference. Now, for many of us, our parents were that person. Can you remember when you were in the third grade and someone thumped you on the head and told you you were ugly and took your lunch and threw your books on the ground, and you went home and you finally told your mother, and she hugged you and kissed you on the head and told you everything was going to be okay. Now, what would have happened if your mother had looked at you and said, good for you? And then you run out and told your dad, and he said, what you telling me for? But see, they serve as a meditation partner for you. And it made a world of difference for good. So I am telling you, you need a spiritual meditation partner. Look at the person sitting there and say, you need a spiritual meditation partner. Now, that is so important. Every Sunday, I'm going to ask you if you have your spiritual meditation partner. So you either, we will know that you don't have one, or you're going to have to sit right here and lie. I'm telling you now. Now, if you don't show up, even our visitors, we're going to call you on the phone. Because it is so important for you to have a spiritual meditation partner. Because that person has made a commitment to help you get to the champion level. How many of you have ever been involved in an exercise routine and you had a trainer? Wouldn't it have been much more difficult without a trainer?
Oh, yeah.
But with the trainer, things became within reach. It's like having a tutor. And so your spiritual meditation partner is so important. But now remember, everybody is not capable. So you need to screen who's going to become your spiritual meditation partner. Everybody doesn't qualify. Everybody's not interested. And everybody will not do you good. All right? Now, that's review. All right? Now, let's look at our new material. All right? Now, I told you that if you're going to become a champion for God, you must position yourself to see rather to hear success words constantly. Say constantly. Not just one time, but constantly. Constantly. You know, like a broken record. Just keep saying it over and over again. Constantly. All right, you got to position yourself to hear success words constantly. And then you got to power yourself to speak success words constantly. So it doesn't matter how life has beat you down. It doesn't matter how bad you feel. You have to power yourself to speak. It is just as if a person who is in a serious accident or a person who is sick, when you get to the doctor, it doesn't matter how bad you're feeling, you have to pull together enough to tell the doctor what's wrong. There can be no such thing as you're too sick to tell the doctor what's wrong. And so there is no such thing as I am too sick to power myself to speak words of success, because it is through this experience that I'm going to come out of this rut and become a champion for God.
Amen.
All right? So now we've got that part. Now let me give you the second part that we're going to talk about today. All right? If you're going to become a champion for God, not only must you position yourself to hear words and power yourself to speak words, you must position yourself to see. You must position yourself to see. You must position yourself to see success images. God has created us that way. And the images that we see are very powerful in our spiritual progression. As we close the lesson today, I'm going to share with you an image that is present for the believers of the Lord all of the time, or every Sunday as we come together. But if you are going to become a champion for God, you must position yourself to see success images constantly. One of the impediments that falls into our life is we keep seeing failure images. One of the difficulties, there are too many failure images in your environment. There are too many failures. Now, some of you have four computers. You're like, what's Lamont's daddy on TV? What's that man's name?
Sanford.
You know, he got a drawer full of glasses. He put on a pair of glasses to find his glasses. Okay? And so some of us, we have so many unfinished projects. We got a Mac computer over here and a PC over here with Word on it and a Mac over and all of that. Listen, you put all of those things in a box and kind of put them out of sight and then leave the one in view that you have fixed. See, every day you look at the one that you fixed that says you can do it.
Right.
You know what happens when when you look at something that's unfinished, I don't want to have to do it. I don't want to have to do it. That's why you haven't done it. So you need to remove all of those failure images out of your environment and fill your environment with success images. I'm going to show you that biblically in just a moment. You need success images. Now listen to this, very carefully. A failure can become a success image if it motivates you. See, whether or not it is a success image depends upon whether or not it propels you forward. For example, you remember that gap you made 2 semesters ago? Put it in red. Hang it up on the refrigerator. And if you hang it up there, and by seeing that red F, it reminds you to study, then that F, though it was a failing grade, becomes a success image because it motivates you. It motivates you.
That's right.
But now, if it doesn't motivate you, then get rid of that one. Because a success image must be something that propels you forward. All right? Now, if you're going to become a champion for God, you must position yourself to see success images constantly.
That's right.
All right, now let's go in the Bible. I'm going to show you that. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're talking about being transformed into a champion for God. Now, Gideon is a servant we're going to talk about today. Gideon is the one who had 32,000 soldiers. And God said, your army is too large. He said, all of the ones that scared, send them home. 22,000 went home. That may suggest that 2/3 of the folk in your circle are scared. And they went home. So Gideon was left with 10,000 soldiers. And God said, your army is still too large. And so God reduced his army to 300 men.
Yeah.
And 300 men won the victory over 15,000 soldiers. Well, why did God do that? See, if they had won the victory with 32,000 soldiers, they would have said, our military might did it. But when they won with 300, they had to say, God did it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, sometimes God has to allow us to have our back up against the wall before we have to admit that it's not our intelligence.
That's right.
It is not our networking. It was the power of God that got us to where we are. And so that's what he did with Gideon. All right, now watch the text. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 16. Judges chapter 6. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, then Judges. Judges 6 and verse 16. But the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. Say, show me a sign.
Show me a sign.
That it is you who speak with me. Gideon said, I want to know it's you. Verse 18, please do not depart from here till I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour and put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Now envision some meat lying on a rock and the gravy has been poured over it.
Yeah.
We know wet things don't burn, generally, unless it's gasoline.
Yeah.
Now watch the text, verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Now here's what God did. He gave Gideon a success image. When you see fire burning wet meat on a rock, you know that's God. God gave him a success image. To propel him and convince him that it was God who gave him his assignment.
That's right.
Catch it?
All right.
So God gave him a success image. All right, he gave him another one. All right, drop down to Judges chapter 6 and verse number 36. Judges 6 and verse 36. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Judges 6 and verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, now don't make fun of Gideon. Because Gideon is just like we are. God has to tell us over and over again and remind us over and over again. God answered a prayer for you 3 weeks ago, and now you think he's not listening. We're just like Gideon. Don't laugh at Gideon. All right. Verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, if you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken, behold, I will put a piece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken. Now here's what Gideon said. He said, God, I want to know that's you. I know you burned up the meat on the rock a little earlier, but I still need to know that's you. He said, God, I'm going to place some wool out here. And in the morning, I want the wool to be wet with dew, but everything around it dry. Now, at 8:30, we had country folk in there like me, so they knew what dew was. Anybody here who doesn't know what dew is? Not a dew rag, dew. Okay, that's the one. Just to make sure. All right. Now, when you get up in the morning and you go outside, if your blue car is wet with dew, then the white car beside it is wet also. Because when the dew falls, it just falls on everything. So God, Gideon rather said, God said, I want you to let the dew fall on the wool only, and everything around it dry, and I'll know that's you. Now, what do you think God would do with somebody to make a statement like that? Now, here's what's baffling. Look at verse 38. And it was so. God did it. Isn't that amazing? God did it. And it was so. Well, don't laugh at Gideon. He's just like we are. Two times don't use the guess. Watch the text. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not let your anger burn against me. Let me make a test once more. With the fleece. Once more. Please, let me test you once more with the fleece. He said, now, I want to make sure, God, the last time the wool was wet and it was dry around it. He said, now this time, I want the wool to be dry and wet around it. And guess what God did? God did it. What's God doing with Gideon? Giving him success images so he can propel him to be a champion for God.
Right.
So if you're going to become a champion, number one, you must continually position yourself to constantly see images of success. You must continually position yourself to constantly see success images. Catch it? Okay, you got to have discernment. All right. Now, the second thing you need to do, you must power yourself. Say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
After you position yourself to see success images, you must power yourself to show success images. So the very success images that you have seen, you must now begin to show. You know, there is just something about images that mobilize us. You will see the seventh game of a World Series or seventh game of the NBA playoffs, and everybody is exhausted from the long season and the playoffs, and everybody has needed oxygen, and everybody is tired and out of breath. But when the game is over, isn't it always amazing how the winners find enough energy to hold up the trophy? Isn't that amazing? The very guy who needed oxygen just a moment ago is now just trophy.
Uh-huh.
You will watch a foot race and the man has run the marathon or the sprint or whatever it is. And when he finished, you saw a moment he had his hand on his knees. But when he wins, isn't it amazing? The champion is always able to find enough energy to run the victory lap.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that is just something about images.
Yeah.
And God has created us that way. And when we learn and understand that, we can propel ourselves to be champions for God.
Right.
So you've got to position yourself to see success images. And then you got to power yourself to show success images. You can never be too tired to hold up the trophy.
Right.
You'll never see a winner say, let someone else hold up the trophy.
Yeah.
You will never see that. All right, now let's go back to Gideon because I got to show you that this is biblical. All right, Judges chapter 6 again. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 22. Well, verse 21, the angel has touched the meat and the sacrifice has been burned. Now look at verse 22 of Judges chapter 6. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Now look at verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar. What did he build?
An altar.
What did he build?
An altar.
He built an altar. Well, what is an altar? An altar is a visible indicator that somebody is worshiping God at this place. And so the altar becomes not only a visible indicator that somebody has worshiped God at this place, but the very presence of God has been here. Man, that's some kind of success image. The presence of God has been here. Now watch the text. Watch the text as we go a little further. Verse number 20. Where am I?
24.
I'll just make sure you're paying attention. All right. Now look at verse 25. Verse 25. Well, at verse 24, he built an altar. All right. So what is he doing? He's showing a success image.
Uh-huh.
He's showing a success image. Now look at verse 25. And on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal. Now, did you see that? What did he tell him to do? Pull down the altar of Baal. What is God telling Gideon to do? Remove the failure image. Because Baal was an idol god. And if there is an altar where people are worshiping the idol god, that is a visible indicator that there are some people in opposition to the true God.
Right.
So God said, remove that image. Now, we really could spend two or three lessons talking about this because, see, some of you have some idolatrous images in your environment. And you may say to yourself, oh, it just looks good. It may be cute, but it is a failure image. Now, I've told you this before. Listen, there is a painting. There is a painting of a little boy sitting on the commode. And he has wasted rolls of tissue paper. Anybody ever seen that painting? Now, isn't that cute? But now, that's a failure image. Because the day your child does that, you're going to beat him. So you hung that up in your house, and then when your child did that, you whipped him. He followed the failure image you paid good money for. Now, it's cute, but does that image propel your children in a positive direction? Not at all. So you have to decide, what propels my children? What mobilizes me forward to be a champion for God? So God said, get rid of Baal's altar. Now watch the text. Look at verse 25 again. He says, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father.
see, Gideon's daddy worshiped idol gods. Listen, you never realize you could be righteous and your daddy unrighteous. You could be a Christian and your daddy be an atheist. So do not allow your relatives, what they do or what they do not do, to be an impediment for your spiritual progression.
Right.
So you cannot say that I would be a better person if my daddy had been better. Because once you discover that your daddy or your mother or whoever it was inadequate, now you can do something about it.
Right.
Okay? Listen, your parents may not have finished high school. That has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Yeah, your grandparents never heard of the internet. That has nothing to do with you. All right, now watch this. He says, pull down the altar veil which belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. Now look at verse 26. And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. You see that? He says, "You the very place where the failure image was,
yeah.
I want you to build a success image right there."
That's right.
Now watch the text. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering. Now, burnt offerings meant a total surrender to God.
Uh-huh.
Say total surrender.
Total surrender.
See, now there were sacrifices that they offered and they didn't totally burn up whatever it was. But when there was a burnt offering, it meant a total surrender to God. So there was a burnt offering. Now watch the text. With the wood. Now watch this. They cut down Baal's altar and they offered a sacrifice using the very wood that formerly was in that altar. So he took what was a failure image and used it to construct a success image. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
And God did that. Because he wanted Gideon to show success images. Now look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants. Now don't laugh at Gideon. Look at the person that thing and said,
don't laugh.
All right, don't laugh at Gideon. Okay, don't laugh at Gideon. Okay, look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. Because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it at night.
Yeah,
I told you, I'll laugh at Gideon. You said, I tell you, that Gideon was chicken. Now, listen, how many of you actually have enough courage to say no to your father and have a standoff? Or say no to your mother? Now, some of you don't ever get to the point you say no to your mother. Listen, that's Gideon's position.
Right.
He didn't have enough courage to do it in the daytime, so he did it at night. But I'm just so glad he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad he did it. Because he was courageous enough to show an image of success. Now watch the text. Look at verse 28. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar Baal was torn down. And the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. Then they said to one another, who did this thing?
Yeah.
And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon. They said, we know who did this. Gideon did that. Now look at verse 30. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal. They said to Joash, see, your boy did it. Bring him on out here. We're going to kill him. But I like Joash's response. Look at verse number 31.
Mm-hmm.
But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself. He said, listen, if Baal is God, you don't have to vindicate God. If Baal is God, let him do something. And so since he didn't do anything, they knew he was nobody. All right? Now, we're talking about becoming a champion. What do you got to do? You got to position yourself to see success images. All right? Now, let's personalize that. I must position myself to see success images. All right? I must position myself to see success images. not somebody else's responsibility to find success images and bring them to you and dump them out of the floor.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to find them, position yourself to see. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you must power yourself to show success images. You must power yourself to show success images. You need to fill your environment with images that mobilize you to be a champion. So all of the images that causes you to be or become a hindrance to you, you need to put them in a box and put them in the storeroom out of sight. Because see, every time you walk by that unfinished project, it just frustrates you. It just frustrates you. And then it gives your adversaries something to accuse you of. How often does wives remind husbands of unfinished projects? See, if you put that out of her sight, she'd forget about it. How often does husbands remind wives of unfinished projects? It becomes a whipping post. So just put it out of sight. And then when you have time, go finish it. You said, well, if I put it out of sight, I'll forget about it. Did you hear what you said? If you can forget about it, obviously it's not providing anything. So that's even more reason why it ought to be out of sight. God wants you to become a champion for Him. And it's going to happen through the personal experience of spiritual meditation.
That's right.
When you begin to position yourself to see images of success just the way Gideon did. And the good news is God participates and cooperates with you seeing success images.
Yeah.
And just as Gideon showed success images, God wants you to do the very same thing. And guess what? When you do that, He'll raise you to the level of being a champion. Some of you are right at the verge of being a champion. But what keeps holding you back are the failure images in your environment. And you need to remove those failure images. You need to remove those failure images and fill your environment with success images. Listen, so how many of you... No, don't raise your hand. But how many of you have ever been fired and then you keep the pink slip? Now, why would you do that? Unless it is a motivator, it should have long ago been gone.
Yeah.
How many times have you applied for a job and they sent you a rejection letter and you kept the rejection letter? For what? To remind you, and then after you had about 9 rejection letters, you finally convince yourself you can't do it. No. You got to put in your environment.
That's right.
Success images.
Yeah.
Now, if those 9 rejection letters remind you to become better prepared, then it is a success image. It all depends on how it impacts you. So what you need to do is you need to go home and you need to look at all of your environments and say, what success images do I have? What failure images do I need to remove? Listen, some of you got failure images up on the dashboard of your car. Every time you drive, you're looking at a failure image. You need success images. And remove the failure images so you can become a champion for God. God knew that failure, that success images were very powerful. God has given His people a weekly success image.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's Supper,
right,
is a success image. Mm-hmm. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said that we do this till He comes.
Yeah.
Till He comes. Well, listen, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, He wouldn't be coming.
That's right.
So the very essence of the Lord's Supper is a success image. Because we do it till he comes. So every week the people of God come together and observe the Lord's Supper as a reminder that the Lord is coming. It's a success image. Now, are you ready for the Lord to come? See, it's a success image for him, but it might not be a success image for you if you are not ready for him to come. Can you honestly say that you are ready for the Lord to come? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Now, it's so important for us to think of that. Because, see, those who are young, you said, I'm not sick yet. So it's obvious I have some more days. I drive carefully. As a matter of fact, I walk most of the places I go. Well, you may have a little control over those things, but the Lord might return and you have no control.
That's right.
Are you ready for the Lord's return? That's why we make it an urgent issue to send people to your home and sit down with you and study the Word of God so you can be baptized into Christ, because we want you to be ready when he comes. So the only question you need to be asking yourself right now, am I ready? Am I ready for the Lord to return? If you're not ready, we're going to help you get ready today. You sit right where you are and believe, based upon the evidence, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse number 24, except you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. He said in John 8 and verse number 21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come.
Right.
So you got to do something with the sin problem.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that you're just a bad person and all of that stuff, but it simply means that you haven't been forgiven.
Right.
Well, how does God forgive us of sin? There's no better person to ask than Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So it sounds to me like you are not ready for him to come if you do not believe. But you're also not ready for him to come if you haven't been baptized.
Right.
So in just a few moments, we're going to be standing and singing a song of encouragement. That is the time for you to come. Now, I know you might be here for the very first time, and you have never been in a church where they baptized folk on Sunday. Aren't you glad you had Grace View today? Because we try to do it the way they did it in the Bible. Do you not know that in the Bible there is never a time when a person came to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? There is never a time where a person ever ate a meal or took a nap before he was baptized, because it was an urgent issue. So you have contemplated it, you have thought about it, and God has brought you to this place today so you can hear this message. Because you can never be the champion that God wants you to be if you are not forgiven of sin. Because sin is a dead weight that will slow up your race and keep you in the failure lane the rest of your life. So you ought to stand up and walk away from sin, say no to Satan, and say yes to the Master. And if you've been looking for a church, a congregation to fellowship with people who love the Lord and will help you be a champion, then you've come to the right place, and you ought to let that be known today. If you'd like to become a Christian, now the devil is going to be saying, don't do that. You need to say yes to the Lord. Is there one here today who will say yes? If it is, you can just get up and be coming on right now. Just say yes to the Lord. And I really want to be a champion for God.
Amen.
I want to be a champion. If you want to be a champion for God, get up and come right now as together we stand and sing.